Episode 43 for Thomas Matters Radio. This is Mark Collier, sponsored today, Omega Processing Solutions. Have you ever gone to a place like Subway in town or 15 North, and instead of bringing your wallet, you use your phone to pay? It's called a mobile wallet. They use apps like Apple Pay, Google Wallet, and this is becoming a preferred method of payment. Instead of pulling out your credit cards to pay, shoppers can use their mobile device to pay, and the applications work for both in-store and online purchases. To use this technology, users must first store their credit cards in their device, and then to make an in-store purchase, you pull out your device, your iPhone or your Android, and you just use it right at the point of checkout. This application is called Near Field Communication, and Omega Processing Solutions can help you if you don't have that. So if you're a small business owner and you want to use Near Field Communications, you should call Omega Processing Solutions. You can do that locally at 859-442-8100. That's 859-442-8100, or toll free 866-888-9724, 866-888-9724. Omega Processing Solutions, the sole sponsor of For Thomas Matters Radio. Let's go. For Thomas Matters Radio, back with the Informed Citizens Project. I believe this is number 6 on our agenda. Today we have David Cameron here in studio today. David, have you ever used near field communications on your phone?
I have not, but I'm looking forward to using the future here.
It's awesome, and I know you're not you're an attorney. Where are you an attorney?
Yeah, so I work in-house for a consumer products company in Cincinnati.
So if you don't need near field communications, but if you did, you would call Omega Processing Solutions, right?
100%. Great Fort Thomas business.
Great Fort Thomas business. Probably one of the biggest in Fort Thomas, actually. And they've been a really good leader on this podcast and letting us be able to talk to all the candidates like David. And we certainly appreciate that. So David is a first-time candidate for Fort Thomas City Council. Did you file on the deadline day?
That's correct. I actually filed in the afternoon on the deadline day with maybe about 2 to 3 hours to spare. Cut it close last minute, but so I'm excited to be here.
We camped out. When I say we, I mean I camped out at Jim Lurson's office that day where candidates kind of file in throughout the day, not just Fort Thomas, but all throughout Campbell County. What did you think of the setup we had there?
It was interesting. I was surprised, a little surprised to walk in and see you there, you know, Fort Thomas Matters, broadcasting live from the clerk's office. Maybe the first time ever he's had a live broadcast from the clerk's office.
I think it was. And I felt bad for their clerks because they had to deal with me all day. But
I'm sure they enjoyed it.
Well, we bought them pizza.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. And of course, Jim Lurson, our Campbell County clerk, was amazing that day as well.
Yep, he usually is. He's doing a great job down there.
So what I'm going to do is, your op-ed is at the top of the 2016 Fort Thomas Matters election tab at the top. We're not going to get in too much of that because people can just kind of read who you are, what you're about, why you're running. But I am going to give you about 30 seconds. David Cameron, who are you? Why are you running? What do you do professionally?
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Mark, for having me here. I'm pretty excited. I think it's a great project getting us out in front of the voters of Fort Thomas. But a little bit myself, my wife and I, we live on Sunset Avenue here in the beautiful city of Fort Thomas, Kentucky. We have a little daughter, Ada Kate. She was born 8 months ago, and she's keeping us very busy, as you probably know yourself. We moved to Fort Thomas about three and a half years ago. We're both not from the area. We met in law school down at the University of Kentucky. And we looked at basically every community, every suburb in the Cincinnati area, and we settled on Fort Thomas because we love it.
So through your op-ed, you say you always see Fort Thomas at the best of the region.
Sure.
List.
Sure.
But one of the things that you talk about is, you know, the undervalued assets that we kind of have. And just because we're at on a lot of those lists doesn't necessarily mean we're at the top of them, and you feel like we should be.
Absolutely. I think maybe because of its geographic location, maybe we don't do the best job selling ourselves. But if you look at what we have, who we actually are, and what we have to offer, not only now, but in the future, we should be at the top of every list. I guarantee not only are we the best city in Kentucky, we're one of the best cities in the region and possibly the country.
So one of the things I like to make a common thread through all of these podcasts, and one of the things that I like to do is kind of give the listeners a little bit of an inside deal of how I came to know you. Right?
Sure.
So we have some mutual friends. We're around the same age, philosophically, you know, and socially, you know, our we kind of line up, right?
We do.
So I think we met through maybe Adam Meyer.
That sounds right. Probably Adam Meyer, probably back during his election campaign in 2014.
Yeah. So you worked on, not necessarily worked on just Adam, but you kind of, devote your time and your talents to, you know, some other people's campaigns from time to time. Talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So my wife and I, when we first moved to the area, one of the ways that we thought to get involved initially was through helping some of the local, both city as well as county level campaigns. One of the campaigns that we were most involved with was Senator Will Schroeder. You know, Will's a first-time senator down in Frankfort representing Campbell, Bracken, and Pendleton County, and he's doing a fantastic job. And we've met so many people, not only in Fort Thomas, but the whole county through that process.
Yeah, so talk about, and then we all, our paths also crossed at the caucus this year. Which,
oh, that's right, yes.
Which
yes.
Your bride graciously asked me to be a part of as well.
Right.
Talk about... And because of that, you're now a podcast veteran.
I am. This is my second podcast,
I would say.
Yes.
So, yeah. Talk about that process in general, and just I guess how you know, volunteering for those types of things has made you aware of what's going on not only in your city but your county as well.
Yeah. So one of my biggest philosophies, basically both in politics and in life, is that people that show up are really the ones that have the decisions to make. And it's surprising how people don't even show up and don't even pay attention to actually issues that matter to them on a daily basis. So I think it's important to educate people through those volunteer efforts. So we like to focus on really voter-driven campaigns, increasing voter participation. It really doesn't matter your party. We want you to be informed. We want you to get out there. We want you to vote in every election because this is going to affect you. Not only you, this is going to affect your children for years to come.
So, and that's probably a good segue into my next question. I feel like I wish when I go to Fort Thomas City Council meetings that the council chambers would be filled.
Sure.
And more times than not, it's the council. It's one or two people that have an issue to bring up, and it's media.
Right.
It's me, and it's you know, some of my cohorts. Talk about your experiences. Do you go to a lot of those meetings? Have you been to a lot of those meetings? And what are your general impressions when you go?
Yeah, so I've been to a couple city council meetings a little bit before my daughter was born, but. As Mark, you really hit it on the head. It is surprising the lack of participation in the community in the city council meetings. And I totally understand that. They're on a Monday night. People get busy. People have families.
Especially in Fort Thomas.
Especially in Fort Thomas. A lot going on. And thankfully, I'm not sure this is to blame Fort Thomas Matters, but you've done a great job covering the meetings. So it's a lot easier to get information than it was before.
But we want people to go so that we have more stuff to write about.
I know. But it's also indicative of the city. The city's functioning at a pretty high level. There's not too many issues. You go to the council, most of the issues surround animals, for the most part, as well as recently we've had some good discussions on tax issues as well as the parking issue.
And to your point, your contemporary and our mutual friend Adam Meyer is the one that kind of spearheaded a lot of those conversations. So let's start there. Some of the conversations that he brought up that, you know, caused a little bit of more of a conversation that would normally happen were property taxes. And then street taxes and how that funding mechanism would happen. So let's start with property taxes first. And his contention was that, hey, You know, the city's done a very good job of being conservative, fiscally conservative with our money. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like we should just raise our property taxes the maximum amount, which is the compensating rate plus 4%, because we've got a significant surplus. Now, some of that is reserved funds that we can't touch. So a lot of it is surplus in name and not necessarily surplus just to be a surplus. But where do you fall on that?
Right. So I understand the role of government. You need to have money to actually function your daily role. I'm also extremely fiscally conservative. That's just my principles are based in conservative principles. I think we really need to look carefully at how much we should be raising the taxes each year. People in Fort Thomas, which is a Westgate community, don't mind paying taxes. It's one of the best things because you see what you're receiving, especially within the top of the state schools. You spend good money, you get good results. So I think what we need to look carefully is, are we spending our money in the best manner possible? Are there efficiencies to gain within the city? And I think when you kind of look into that.
So, and you brought that up in your op-ed. You know, two questions that you just said almost verbatim. Is the city spending your money wisely? Are maximum tax increases really necessary every year? If you were on council last year, the vote ended up being 4-2. So Adam Meyer voted not to raise the property tax as much as they possibly could. Lisa Kelly also did. The other four councilmen voted to do that. If you were on council at that point, how would you have voted?
Sure. And just to be fair to the council members, they have a lot more data than I have that I've reviewed. So on the face, I know Adam Meyer extremely well, and I believe in Adam's core principles. And I would tend to have sided with Adam on that vote.
So let's talk about that. And really, that was probably the only split vote that we had. Generally in Fort Thomas, the overall feeling is one of a cohesiveness.
Sure.
Unanimous votes are the norm. Mm-hmm. Split votes are not. So what would be most important to you as a council person? Would it be more important to you to build a consensus? They do that. Would it be, whether that be before a council meeting, during committee meetings, talking to individual council members, which some candidates have talked about, is that more important? Or would having a healthy debate, which would sometimes lead to split votes, which one is more important to David Cameron?
Yeah, so I think split votes actually are important to the community. Yes, it's good to have cohesiveness to move forward as a group, but it's also vitally important for democracy to have these important discussions, and not only have these discussions, but have them in a public forum where the public residents can participate and voice their opinion on it.
So talk about how you would come to these decisions. We live in a representative republic.
We do.
Which means that it's a type of democracy, mm-hmm. but it's not a true democracy in the fact that everybody's voice means, you know, gets the same amount. You are representative of your constituents. So what is the best way for you to make your decisions?
Yeah. So at the end of the day, Mark, kind of what you said is the residents are electing you to think that you're going to act in their best interests. So we don't have a true democracy, but individuals are not voting on every single issue. So the number one thing is to gather facts. You need to talk to residents. You need to be open with the residents. See what the actual issues are, what they care about, what affects them on a daily basis. These are people's homes you're talking about here, right? So people get very emotional about them, small issues. I've been campaigning here for about, you know, a month or two now, talking to a lot of individuals. And the most issues that I hear about are very street-by-street level issues. People are heavy on Fort Thomas. But you need to get on the community. You need to talk to them, see what's important to them. Because it's not going to be the same street-to-street.
Sure. So let me ask you about another. It was, I guess, and I don't want to say it was just driven from coverage, but the next issue that seemed to derive the most discussion was the street tax. And I've brought this up with every candidate that we've talked to so far throughout the course of the podcast. And Adam Meyer was the spearhead on, you know, changing the funding mechanism from one that required funding from residents directly that were directly assessed and the road aid fund. He was the one that brought up the suggestion that we might want to look at a franchise fee. And right when that kind of discussion was building steam, that's when Adam was offered the promotion to become Governor Bevin's director or chief of staff for policy. Mm-hmm. And that kind of just kind of went away. So another hypothetical, if you were on council, how do you continue that conversation? And
yeah,
would you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you 100% need to do. This is one of the issues that's actually pretty contentious in the city. You have people on both sides, and I think people have very, very valid arguments on both sides. I think the current system's a little bit unfair in a lot of ways. For full disclosure, I live at the end of the cul-de-sac. I maybe have 15, 20 feet of footage on a seldom traveled
street. So this would, I mean, the way that it's structured now, I mean, it would completely benefit you.
Great benefits me. But let's think about the alternative. If you live on a corner and you have roads on two sides of your house that are heavily traveled, it's probably a little unfair for you to cover my burden on traveling those roads. But I don't think that the proposed franchise fee is a good alternative. I think we need to explore other options that are more fair to all the citizens in Fort Thomas.
Like what? What are you talking about?
Well, I think potentially one issue is maybe the question I get is oftentimes is why don't our taxes already pay for these street issues? And a lot of cities, they do, right? No one wants to pay higher taxes. But if we look at efficiencies, can we frip some extra money in the budget to pay for more street repairs? Additionally, could we look into a flat fee for all residents that's not based on how many cars you own or how big your house is, how efficient your house is, what street you live on? We need to talk to see what other communities are doing in this effort.
So it seems like in your op-ed, you bring up two, you know, questions. How's your city spending your tax money? Are they doing it wisely? Are maximum tax increases really necessary? So those are obviously two fiscally involved ideas.
Sure.
Outside of money, mm-hmm. What are some ideas that you, David Cameron, have to progress the city forward?
Yeah, so Fort Thomas is doing a lot right. And I want to continue those efforts. So let's start with the VA homes. I run by the VA homes about once, twice a week, a little less.
You run?
I run there from a sunset down.
From sunset? I mean, that's like 2 miles,
I know.
Man.
I'm actually training for the half marathon in a week here, training in a loose sense. So we'll see how that goes. But you run by those homes. I've been running by them for about 3 years now, and they have degraded in 3 years. Everyone can see that. And now you can't even get back there because they have caution tape.
That's what I was just going to say. Have you been back there in like
yes,
the last week?
Yes, you can't get up there. So those are true. We need to fix those homes up. It's taken way too long. Everyone can see that. So we need to focus on the VA homes as a small way. We also need to focus more on community development. So we need to develop more in the community, as well as part of that is economic development.
So let's talk about that. Let's break that down. Community development
first.
What do you mean by that?
So a great example. So let's look back to this past weekend and Friday and Saturday and Earth Day. Right, Friday was Earth Day.
You volunteered for that.
I did. Yeah. So I volunteered through an effort called Ignite through the Fort Thomas Parks, sponsored by Duke Energy, as well as two great volunteers in the city, Chris and Jeff.
Chris Rust and Jeff Moore.
Yep. And Chris is actually a Fort Thomas firefighter.
Right.
And this is what you need to foster. This is where the community development really comes into play. Fort Thomas has so many residents that are wanting to serve the community, and the city needs to function in a role really to foster that. So while this doesn't cost the city much, may cost them a little bit of money to get this organization, but we really need to have a volunteer corps within the city. The Fort Thomas schools, they have a fantastic volunteer corps. The city does as well, but it needs to be more organized. Debbie Buckley's doing a great job for the 150, organizing volunteers for that. So that could be an excellent springboard, taking those volunteers that want to volunteer for that 1 week and using them on a year-round basis.
So what you're saying basically, and I think probably the schools, and let's be clear here, the schools is where a lot of our tax money goes to.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
But at the same time, that's where a lot of our time and talents are devoted as well in the city. I think the schools are what set the city apart.
100%.
So right. What you're saying is to move that model mm-hmm. of volunteerism and support that makes those schools so great and move that over to the city. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. The schools are a model for a lot of other schools, and use that model, same thing, for the community. Get more community involvement. Is that going to help your neighbor? It's going to help Fort Thomas business. It's going to help foster a sense of community.
Yeah, it's the first time I've heard that. I mean, that's a hell of an idea.
Yeah, and I think another way you can do that, one thing I thought of, is you can do a new resident picnic every year. So a lot of cities... Fort Thomas has a pretty low influx of new residents, but I've actually met a lot here in the last 2 months, a surprising number. And I think sometimes those citizens have a hard time adapting, kind of getting in with the community. We've been very fortunate. We have
you and Sarah. Have.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yes, Sarah and myself have. We have fantastic neighbors. Just really great that have been helping us with our childcare, yard work, everything you can ask for. We also have great friends. Not everyone in Fort Thomas has that. So what I want to do is make sure that new residents feel welcome to the city, because they're the ones that have a lot of energy. They come to the city, they're excited, they want to help the city. They also have fresh new ideas that maybe we're think, well, that is a good idea.
Yeah, I mean, we're pretty parochial in a sense that we love tradition and we love, you know, everything that's made Fort Thomas great for so many years.
Right.
It's been the envy of Northern Kentucky for so many years. But at the same time, when you are so good, you attract new people too. And I think you can speak to that more than anybody, right?
Absolutely. Like I was saying in my intro, we looked at every neighborhood there could possibly be.
Where else did you look?
So we looked at Hyde Park, Marymount, Terrace Park, Mount Adams, Newport. You know, all really pure communities. And what's interesting is even with our realtor, they're saying, why do you want to live in Kentucky? Ohio has so much more to offer. That could not be farther from the truth. Kentucky and Fort Thomas have so much to offer. And we need to attract these young professionals to help come to our city and grow our city. You have to grow to be here in 50 years.
Right. Well, and quick plug. If I'm sure you weren't at this point, but if you were using Rob Bimashi of Huff Realty, who is a Fort Thomas Matters advertiser, he would have been pimping us out. He is the Fort Thomas real estate expert, by the way.
That's great to hear. That's great to hear.
So you talk about community development. Let's talk about economic development.
Sure.
What are some of your ideas there?
Yeah, so I think we really need to take an assessment of our current business. I know we have a lot of data on our current businesses, but we need to focus on two efforts. Well, number one is we need to attract new businesses. We have a pretty high occupancy rate of our commercial. Thankfully, in the last year, we've had a lot of new businesses. But we also
The
economy is great. We have people have high incomes in Fort Thomas. They can support these businesses. But we also need to support our existing businesses. I think sometimes we get so set on what's new, but there's so many great existing places that have been here for decades that we need to continue to support.
So let's talk about some ideas. Specifically, let's move from Midway to Central Business to Inverness. Inverness sure. is a little bit short. What do you have any ideas specific to Midway District?
Yeah, so I think Midway District is, you know, people complain about the Midway about the parking situation.
Sure, yeah.
I do know there potentially may be some opportunity with some of the utilities that own some land in the area to maybe open up some of that for parking. We also need to see what we can do with some of the vacant storefronts in the Midway. My wife and I had lunch today at Midway Cafe, which is fantastic.
What'd you have?
We had the burgers and the cheese.
Wait, there's a Midway burger, I think, that has an egg on it.
Yeah, we didn't have that. Just the single. God. It's called the single.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they have the wings, these baked wings they do, or smoked wings. They're fantastic. But, you know, you're looking next to Midway Cafe, and there's two vacant businesses currently for sale.
Right now, yeah.
Right now. So I think the city, you know, could look into helping market those buildings, because that's an awesome location, right? We can get some out-of-town visitors there. You also have the stables in there that they're looking to develop. Make that a destination area. So to your question, Mark, how do you actually do that? Well, if you look at some of our peer cities, what they've done is through economic incentives. It's going to have to be – you're going to have to use a multitude of tools to really tackle the issue. Just some issues you can do is cash grants. So a lot of cities give rebates for improvements on commercial structures.
Which would have to happen at those two that you're talking about.
Right. And in my general opinion, it's okay for the city to spend some money, because in the end of the day, you're going to get that money back in multitudes.
Well, like those two properties, I think, are like listed at one 50 and 120 or something like right. that. I mean, that's nothing.
It's nothing.
It's not, I mean, to you or me, it would be, but to like the city, yes. like to offer some incentives for somebody to come in, like what happened at the Highland building, we were very fortunate there to have two residents that live in the city that have a vested interest yes. in not wanting to see a large vacancy or, you know, cardboard up in, right. in windows.
Right.
But that doesn't happen all the time.
Doesn't happen. It's rare. Yeah. So thankfully we had those two individuals, but we're not always going to have that. So one possible idea, you know, for the city to give incentives and to really encourage, we have a great artist community here in Northern Kentucky in Fort Thomas particularly, you know, maybe looking to move in some of the artists in those buildings, right? Some of what Covington's doing.
Sure. So that's Midway District. Talk about your experiences, in the Central Business District. It seems like Renaissance is really kind of, you know, putting a lot of efforts into building that up as the cultural arts district. So we have Art House, yep. we have, you know, Fort Thomas Coffee, which yep. is, you know, art centric. What ideas do you have for the Central Business District?
Sure. Well, I think one thing that started last year was the Art Walk or the Art Hop.
Art Around Town.
Art Around Town. Yeah. That is a fantastic event. I think in June here, it'll probably start back up. But that's what you need to do is you really need, the city needs to market these existing businesses. Again, we have so much to offer, but people outside Fort Thomas rarely come up the hill. Now, you know, I understand we don't want the whole Cincinnati to pile up the city. We have a great thing going on here. But, you know, we do need some outside visitors. It's good to have that perspective. It's good to have their money spent at our local businesses.
So, and one, I think one example of trying to get outsiders to come to Fort Thomas is Merchants in Music. And they spend a significant amount of time, effort, and money
sure.
to do that.
Sure.
Last, 2 years ago, I don't have the figures yet, but last year, 2 years ago, the party ended up costing around $80,000. We brought in $30,000. We ran a deficit on that day of about $53,000 or so. That's general. Are you okay with that?
I think generally, I mean, that's a large number, Mark. I mean, that's not, let's be honest. For a city our size, that's a big number. But I do support the city sponsoring festivals. I think it's a great way to market your community. Ideally, what's going to happen is someone's going to come here for Merchants and Music. They're going to see what we have going on. They're going to be in town. They're going to see a house for sale. They're going to say, wow, I want to live in this place. I want to raise my family. They're going to come here. They're going to move in. So overall, Mark, yeah, I understand it's a big number. I think maybe we could look at better ways to spend the money, efficiencies again. But overall, I support that.
So I always feel like politicians, first of all, do you consider yourself a politician now?
No, I don't. No. A servant. I think I'm a servant.
Well, right? You know, I think that's an important, like, I don't know. I think that's an important distinction because a lot of people, like, I think it's like a dirty word almost to be called a politician now. But for instance, like your buddy, our buddy, Will Schroeder,
right.
I asked him when we had our, I hosted a Northern Kentucky Forum event on young politicians, and I asked that question, and they all said no. And Will he said, yeah, I'm sure. a politician at sure. this point. I want to be here. I want to serve the community. I want to be here for a long time. So I guess, you know, that aside, you're not a politician.
I think Fort Thomas is different in that respect, right? So Fort Thomas City Council, the race itself, has always been very cordial. People get along in Fort Thomas, which is a great thing. People are looking to better the community. You know, this is a volunteer position, right? Yeah. No one's getting paid in city council.
Well, they get paid a big check of like $60 a year.
Right, exactly. But they're doing it because they want to help the community. It's not about being a politician. No one's getting a personal from me.
So why do you want to do it?
Yeah, what I mean, so it goes back to serving the community, helping the community. But everyone at city council knows how good Fort Thomas is. Everyone wants to help the community. What I want to do it is I think we honestly can make small improvements in Fort Thomas and help the community. Small tweaks, tweak it here, tweak it there. Make sure what we have is going to be here for our children.
Are you invoking Coach Calipari right now with the tweak?
tweak. Coach Cal's a fantastic basketball coach, and I'll never be at his level.
So let's talk. So you're not a politician. You're a servant. But I feel like everybody has whether you're a politician or not, you run for these jobs because you've got a little bit of an ego. You have to think that what you bring to the table is better than, because we have 9 people for 6 spots.
Right.
So you obviously think that you should be one of those 6.
100%, yeah. So I think that my talents are a little bit different than some people that I'm running against. I feel like I can offer a fresh perspective. What's different? I kind of bring it outside. I've lived in several states, several communities that have been fantastic communities. And I want to bring what I've learned there here.
But you're connected here. I mean, you've especially in like the political world, like, you know, a lot of the op-eds in 2014, I had asked the question, you know, how do we get more money from Frankfurt here? And a lot of people would say, you know, I have experience as a lobbyist, or I know our representative Joe Fisher, or you know, that kind of thing. You actually know, I mean, you're friends with our state senator. You know our representative. Mm-hmm. So talk about your relationships there. And I mean, is this going to be like one of those things where I ask you, like, how do we bring money from Frankfurt? And you say, I'll talk to them and see what we can do. Are you actually going to like be an advocate for Fort Thomas? Because we don't get that money here.
And right.
How do you go about doing that?
That's a great point, Mark. So if you look at how much money Fort Thomas sends down to Frankfurt and how much we get back, it's not much. And I understand that we're a very fortunate community that we can help some of the other areas of the state. Conversely, historically, we have got shorted on a lot of monies that should have came back to the city. So how do you do that? Well, there's a couple of different ways. One, we have to explore our relationships. We have a fantastic federal delegation in Senator McConnell, Senator Paul, Massey. These are individuals that maybe can help us out, right? There's a lot of grant programs. The money's not there what it used to be, right? Everyone knows that, especially at the state level. Kentucky's battling extremely pension issues, budget issues. But there are grants available that other cities have been able to get over the years that Fort Thomas has not been able to get. A great example is sidewalks are one issue, bike racks are another issue, even the VA homes. You know, for me, like as I brought up a couple of minutes ago, it really hurts me to go past those VA homes and seeing trees falling, paint falling off, chimneys falling down. We should be on the phone with Senator McConnell's office every week asking, where is the VA on these issues? Why has the VA not moved on our applications? I know it's a big bureaucracy, but Senator McConnell, Senator Paul's office maybe can help us in some of those areas.
Well, and you have some, I think you have some insight more so than a lot of candidates, right? So like, you know, people that work for Senator McConnell.
Sure.
You know, people that work through, you know, to be able to cut through this red tape. What are they saying about those?
Yeah. So I've talked to Senator McConnell's office and, you know, I hear that they have not been getting the pressure from Fort Thomas that maybe we could apply. You know, so this
is it a matter of just being a squeaky wheel?
It could be. You know, it's hard to tell, right? A lot of times things go to Washington and they get stuck in some waste paper basket for all we know. But I think a squeaky wheel gets to grease, especially on the federal level, especially in a community like Fort Thomas. So Fort Thomas, if you look, we contribute to who gets elected in the state. We're the second largest city in Campbell County.
No, first largest.
First largest city, yeah. I misspoke, sorry, yeah. We're in Campbell County. We have a lot of registered voters, voter-wise. We just contribute a lot. So you vote for your representative, and you hope that they're going to look out for your best interest, and we need to make sure that they're looking out for our best interests.
So I'm asking this question to everybody as well, and I think it gives a little bit of insight to, you know, who they hang around with, who their kitchen cabinet is, so to speak. Who are 3 people that you talk to outside of your family about, you know, running for this position that you're running for now?
Yeah, so one of the individuals I talked to is Brian Sand. Brian Sand's a member of our Renaissance Board here in Fort Thomas. He's one of the best people you're going to meet. He cares about our city. He's really looking out for us. He's been a fantastic resource. I also talked to Senator Will Schroeder. Will Schroeder is a good friend of mine. He really has looked out for the city and for the county, and I think he'll continue to do so. I've also talked to Cameron and Adam Blau. They're a great old Fort Thomas family, and they have a lot to offer, both politically as well as good ideas of how how to fit in Fort Thomas and how to make Fort Thomas better.
Have you talked to any current council members?
Sure, yeah. I've met with most current council members. I actually had a great conversation last night with our current mayor, who's doing a fantastic job.
Where were you?
We were actually at the Brighton Center Gala. They had their 50th anniversary gala last night at the Marriott in Cincinnati Airport.
Did you have to dress up? Was it fancy?
It was a little fancy, yeah. So,
are you a fancy guy?
I'm not a fancy guy. I'm a Miller Lite type of guy.
Okay, yeah, which we have a couple in front of us right now. So,
yes, I've talked to council members, you know, and that's the thing about council members. So, you know, everyone's doing a good job, right? So as an outsider, as a newcomer, I'm facing an uphill challenge because we don't have the problems that other cities have. What the problems that we have is small improvements. So for me, it's important to get out and talk to people. You're going to see me at your door here over the next few months, probably. And I apologize ahead of time. You probably might see my wife a few times, but I'm going to try to get out in the community. I'm going to talk to people. People want their voices heard. Even already, like I was saying, there's so many small issues in the city, but because it's your home, it's a big issue to you.
Sure.
Yes.
So I feel like there's a few things that should be, you know, baseline requirements for every council person. Do you pledge, and there's only one meeting a month, except for 2 months during budgetary time. Would you pledge to be at every meeting barring family emergency?
Oh, 100%, Mark. And actually, a secondary comment on that. I know, you know, last year we kind of switched from the two meetings to the one meeting. And I understand this is a volunteer commitment. It's a lot of time. But a month is a long time to go between meetings. People, especially if you're missing a meeting, that means you're every 60 days, you're only hearing the issues outside of your committee. So, yes, I would pledge to be at every single meeting barring emergency.
And two, like, I go to all the committee meetings. And generally, and just to give our listeners a general overview, a committee is only made up of three council members. Not everybody has to go. If you're not on the committee, you don't have to go to those committee meetings. But those don't happen that often either. Would you try to go to all of those?
I would definitely try to. I think a lot of things get accomplished in committee. By the time it makes it to city council, a lot of the small issues have been worked out, and you may not get all the background that you're going to get in the committee meetings.
So I feel like Fort Thomas does a good job, and obviously, like, I choose to live here because I love the city. You do too. I mean, you had a blank slate and you chose Fort Thomas. When I'm dealing with city staff, sometimes it's a little bit frustrating for me because I feel like there could be a better way to communicate with them. Like, it could be more seamless. What are your experiences with dealing with city staff as a resident? And is there anything that you would do to maybe help improve that, I mean, that communication line?
Sure, that's a good question, Mark. And personally, I haven't had the chance to contact city staff on any issues that I've had personally because we've had a pretty seamless time here so far. But I do hear from residents that residents sometimes have issues that they don't feel are adequately addressed. So I think when you look at ways to increase a dialogue between city staff and between residents, this is not a challenge unique to Fort Thomas. Other communities face similar issues.
So you've talked to other communities too about
this?
Sure,
absolutely. Yeah, people hear about it all the time. So then they have solutions. You know, so some of the solutions are maybe a one-stop place where Fort Thomas residents can contact city staff, and someone down there is going to really sort through who's the best person to answer this question. Because right now, if you have a question, a lot of people in the city don't know who to contact.
Sure.
That's just what it comes to.
I get a lot of questions.
I'm sure you do. Who do I contact? Yeah. And we have a great city staff that are willing and wanting to help people. But if they don't have the right tools or the right they get a question that's out of the area, it may sit there for a while.
So you and I are in an elevator together. We don't know each other. We've got 20 seconds. You need my vote. You need one more vote to get on city council. How do you get my vote? Go.
Absolutely.
20 seconds.
Mark, I'm David Cameron. I live here in Fort Thomas, Kentucky, the best city in Kentucky and the Commonwealth. I'm going to serve you in Fort Thomas as a new perspective. I'm going to make sure that Fort Thomas gets its fair shake down in Frankfort. I'm going to make sure that Fort Thomas has the best staff, the best police force, the best fire department that we can possibly have. And I'm going to make sure that we're responsive to your needs.
David, how do people connect with you?
Yeah, so you can find me on Facebook, David Cameron for Fort Thomas City Council. Send me a message down there. Shoot me. I'd be happy to talk to you. You want to get coffee? You want to get lunch? Just let me know. I'm looking forward to meeting you.
You're like the only one that set one of those up so far.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I understand. So, you know, social media is really the way to meet with people, to talk to people. Everyone's on social media in some aspects. And it's a good way for the city, too, that they can look into really communicating with your citizens.
Right. Well, David Cameron, thank you so much for being on the show today. You can always find David's op-ed, his introduction op-ed, on FortThomasMatters.com at the 2016 election tab. We will have these podcasts up for your consumption at any point that you want to download them. You can find them on iTunes. You can find them on FortThomasMatters.podbean.com. Usually the easiest way to do that, and David's done this. You listen to our podcast, don't you?
I do, yeah. Yes, you do a great job.
Well, we don't know what we're doing, but we thank Omega Processing Solutions because they're the ones that make this happen. Our businesses here, our schools here, are the reason why our city is so great. We thank Omega Processing, and David, thank you so much for being on the show.
Great. Thank you, Mark.